Scene 4. Enter Queen Gertrude and Polonius. Polonius. Ah, we'll come straight. Look, you lay home to him. Tell him his pranks have been too broad to bear with, and that your grace has screened and stood between much heat and him. I'll silence me even here. Pray you be round. Queen. I'll warrant you. Fear me not. Withdraw. I hear him coming. Polonius goes behind the arras. Enter Hamlet. Hamlet. Now, mother, what's the matter? Queen. Hamlet. Thou hast thy father much offended. Hamlet. Mother. You have my father much offended. Queen. Come, come. You answer with an idle tongue. Hamlet. Go, go. You question with a wicked tongue. Queen. Why, how now, Hamlet? Hamlet. What's the matter now? Queen. Have you forgot me? Hamlet. No, by the rood, not so. You are the queen, your husband's brother's wife. And would it were not so, you are my mother. Queen. Nay, then I'll set those to you that can speak. Hamlet. Come, come, and sit you down. You shall not budge. You go not till I set you up a glass, where you may see the inmost part of you. Queen. What wilt thou do? Thou wilt not murder me. Help, ho! Polonius, from behind. What, ho, help! Hamlet, draws. How now, a rat? Dead for a ducat, dead! Hamlet thrusts his sword through the arras and kills Polonius. Polonius, from behind. Oh, I am slain! Queen. Oh me, what hast thou done? Hamlet. Nay, I know not. Is it the king? Queen. Oh, what a rash and bloody deed is this! Hamlet. A bloody deed? Almost as bad, good mother, as kill a king and marry with his brother. Queen. As kill a king? Hamlet. Aye, lady. It was my word. He lifts up the arras and sees the body of Polonius. Thou wretched, rash, intruding fool, farewell! I took thee for thy better. Take thy fortune. Thou findest to be too busy in some danger. Leave wringing of your hands. Peace, sit you down, and let me wring your heart, for so I shall, if it be made of penetrable stuff. If damned custom have not brazed it so that it be proof and bulwark against sense. Queen. What have I done that thou darest wag thy tongue in noise so rude against me? Hamlet. Such an act that blurs the grace and blush of modesty, calls virtue hypocrite, takes off the rose from that fair forehead of an innocent love, and sets a blister there, makes marriage vows as false as dicer's oaths. Oh, such a deed as from the body of contraction plucks the very soul, and sweet religion makes a rhapsody of words. Heaven's face does glow over this solidity and compound mass, with heated visage as against the doom. Is thought sick act at the act? Queen. Ay me, what act that roars so loud and thunders in the index? Hamlet. Look here upon this picture, and on this, the counterfeit presentment of two brothers. See what a grace was seated on this brow. Hyperion's curls, the front of Jove himself, an eye like Mars, to threaten and command, a station like the herald Mercury, new lighted on a heaven-kissing hill. A combination and a form indeed, where every god did seem to set his seal, to give the world assurance of a man. This was your husband. Look you now what follows, here is your husband. Like a mildewed ear, blasting his wholesome brother. Have you eyes? Could you on this fair mountain leave to feed and batten on this moor? Huh, have you eyes? You cannot call it love, for at your age, the heyday in the blood is tame, it's humble, and waits upon the judgment. And what judgment would step from this to do this? Sense sure you have, else could you not have motion? But sure that sense is apoplexed, for madness would not err, nor sense to ecstasy, was never so thralled, but it reserves some quantity of choice to serve in such a difference. What devil was it that thus hath cozened you at Hoodman Blind? Eyes without feeling, feeling without sight, ears without hands or eyes, smelling sans all, or but a sickly part of one true sense could not so mope. Oh, shame! Where's thy blush, rebellious hell? If thou canst mutin in a matron's bones, to flaming youth let virtue be as wax and melt in her own fire. Proclaim no shame when the compulsive ardor gives the charge, since frost itself as actively doth burn, and reason panders will. Queen, O Hamlet, speak no more. Thou turnest my eyes into my very soul, and there I see such black and grained spots as will not leave their tinct. Hamlet, nay, but to live in the rank sweat of an unseen bed, stewed in corruption, honeyed in making love over the nasty sty? Queen, oh, speak to me no more. These words like daggers enter into my ears. No more, sweet Hamlet. Hamlet, a murderer and a villain, a slave that is not 20th part of the tithe of your precedent lord, a vice of kings, a cutpurse of the empire and the rule, that from his shelf the precious diadem stole and put it in his pocket. Queen, no more! Enter the ghost, Hamlet, a king of shreds and patches. Save me and hover over me with your wings, you heavenly guards. What would your gracious figure? Queen, alas, he's mad. Hamlet, do you not come, your tardy son, to chide, that lapsed in time and passion lets go by the important acting of your dread command? Oh, say, ghost, do not forget, this visitation is but to whet thy almost blunted purpose. But look, amazement on thy mother sits. Oh, step between her and her fighting soul. Conceit in weakest body's strongest works. Speak to her, Hamlet. Hamlet, how is it with you, lady? Queen, alas, how is it with you, that you do bend your eye on vacancy, and with the incorporeal air to hold discourse? Forth at your eyes your spirits wildly peep, and as the sleeping soldiers in the alarm, your bedded hair like life in excrements start up and stand and end. O gentle sun, upon the heat and flame of thy distemper, sprinkle cool patience. Whereon do you look? Hamlet, on him, look, you how pale he glares, his form and cause conjoined, preaching to stones would make them capable. Do not look upon me, lest with this piteous action you convert my stern effects. Then what I have to do will want true color, tears perchance for blood. Queen, to whom do you speak this? Hamlet, do you see nothing there? Queen, nothing at all, yet all that I see. Hamlet, nor did you nothing hear? Queen, know nothing but ourselves. Hamlet, why, look you there, look how it steals away, my father, in his habit as he lived. Look where he goes, even now, out that portal. Exit the ghost. Queen, this is the very coinage of your brain, this bodiless creation ecstasy is very cunning in. Hamlet. My pulse as yours doth temperately keep time, and makes as beautiful music. It is not madness that I have uttered. Bring me to the test, and I the matter will reword. Which madness would gamble from? Mother, for love of grace, lay not that flattering unction to your soul, that not your trespass, but my madness speaks. It will but skin and film the ulcerous place, whilst rank corruption, mining all within, infects unseen. Confess yourself to heaven, repent what's past, avoid what is to come, and do not spread the compost on the weeds to make them ranker. Forgive me this, my virtue, for in the fatness of these pursy times, virtue itself a vice must pardon beg, yea, curb and woo for leave to do him good. Queen. O Hamlet, thou hast cleft my heart in twain. Hamlet. O, throw away the worser part of it, and live the purer with the other half. Good night, but go not to my uncle's bed. Assume a virtue, if you have it not. The monster custom, who all sense doth eat. O habit's devil, is angel yet in this, that to the use of actions fair and good, he likewise gives a frock or livery that aptly is put on. Refrain tonight, and that shall lend a kind of easiness to the next abstinence, the next more easy, for use almost can change the stamp of nature, and either curb the devil or throw him out with wondrous potency. Once more, good night, and when you are desirous to be blessed, I'll blessing beg of you. For this same Lord I do repent, but heaven hath pleased it so, to punish me with this, and this with me, that I must be their scourge and minister. I will bestow him and will answer well the death I give him. So, again, good night. I must be cruel only to be kind. This bad begins and worse remains behind. One word more, good lady. Queen. What shall I do? Hamlet. Not this, by no means, that I bid you do. Let the bloat king tempt you again to bed. Pinch wanton on your cheek. Call you his mouse. And let him, for a pair of reachy kisses, or paddling in your neck with his damned fingers, make you to ravel all this matter out, that I essentially am not in madness, but mad in craft. 'Twere good you let him know. For who, that's but a queen, fair, sober, wise, would from a paddock, from a bat, from a jib, such dear concernings hide? Who would do so do? No, in despite of sense and secrecy, unpeg the basket on the house's top. Let the birds fly, and like the famous ape, to try conclusions, in the basket creep, and break your own neck down. Queen. Be thou assured, if words be made of breath, and breath of life, I have no life to breathe, what thou hast said to me. Hamlet. I must to England, you know that. Queen. Alack, I had forgot, 'tis so concluded on. Hamlet. There's letters sealed, and my two schoolfellows, whom I will trust as I will adders fanged, they bear the mandate. They must sweep my way and marshal me to knavery. Let it work, for 'tis the sport to have the engineer hoist with his own petar. And 'tis shall go hard, but I will delve 1 yard below their minds and blow them at the moon. Oh, 'tis most sweet when in one line two crafts directly meet. This man shall set me packing. I'll lug the guts into the neighbor room. Mother, good night indeed. This counselor is now most still, most secret, and most grave, who was in life a foolish prating knave. Come, sir, to draw toward an end with you. Good night, mother. Exit Hamlet, tugging in Polonius. Act 4, Scene 1. Enter King to the Queen with Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. King, there's matter in these sighs, these profound heaves. You must translate. 'Tis fit we understand them. Where is your son? Queen, bestow this place on us a little while. Exeunt Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Ah, mine own lord, what have I seen tonight? King, what, Gertrude? How does Hamlet? Queen, mad as the sea and wind, when both contend, which is the mightier? In his lawless fit, behind the arras hearing something stir, whips out his rapier, cries, a rat, a rat! And in this brainish apprehension, kills the unseen good old man. King, oh, heavy deed! It had been so with us, had we been there. His liberty is full of threats to all, to you yourself, to us, to everyone. Alas, how shall this bloody deed be answered? It will be laid to us, whose providence should have kept short, restrained, and out of haunt. This mad young man, but so much was our love, we would not understand what was most fit. But like the owner of a foul disease, to keep it from divulging, let it feed even on the pith of life. Where is he gone? Queen, to draw apart the body he hath killed, over whom his very madness, like some ore among a mineral of metals base, shows itself pure, a weeps for what is done. King, O Gertrude, come away. The sun no sooner shall the mountains touch, but we will ship him hence, and this vile deed we must with all our majesty and skill both countenance and excuse. Ho, Guildenstern! Enter Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Friends both, go join you with some further aid. Hamlet in madness hath Polonius slain, and from his mother's closet hath he dragged him. Go seek him out. Speak fair, and bring the body into the chapel. I pray you hasten this. Exeunt Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Come, Gertrude, we'll call up our wisest friends, and let them know both what we mean to do, and what's untimely done, so haply slander, whose whisper over the world's diameter, as level as the cannon to his blank, transport his poisoned shot, may miss our name, and hit the woundless air. Oh, come away! My soul is full of discord and dismay. Exeunt. Scene 2. Enter Hamlet. Hamlet. Safely stowed, but soft, what noise? Who calls on Hamlet? Oh, here they come. Enter Rosencrantz, Guildenstern, and others. Rosencrantz. What have you done, my lord, with the dead body? Hamlet. Compounded it with dust. Whereto 'tis kin? Rosencrantz. Tell us where 'tis, that we may take it thence and bear it to the chapel. Hamlet. Do not believe it. Rosencrantz. Believe what? Hamlet. That I can keep your counsel, and not mine own. Besides, to be demanded of a sponge, what replication should be made by the son of a king? Rosencrantz. Take you me for a sponge, my lord? Hamlet. Aye, sir, that soaks up the king's countenance, his rewards, his authorities. But such officers do the king best service in the end. He keeps them like an apple in the corner of his jaw, first mouth to be last swallowed. When he needs what you have gleaned, it is but squeezing you, and, sponge, you shall be dry again. Rosencrantz, I understand you not, my lord. Hamlet, I am glad of it. A knavish speech sleeps in a foolish ear. Rosencrantz, my lord, you must tell us where the body is, and go with us to the king. Hamlet, the body is with the king, but the king is not with the body. The king is a thing. Guildenstern, a thing, my lord? Hamlet, of nothing. Bring me to him. Hide fox and all after. Exeunt. Scene 3. Enter king and two or three. King. I have sent to seek him and to find the body. How dangerous is it that this man goes loose? Yet must not we put the strong law on him? He's loved of the distracted multitude. Who like not in their judgment but their eyes? And where 'tis so, the offender's scourge is weighed, but never the offense. To bear all smooth and even, this sudden sending him away must seem deliberate pause. Diseases desperate grown by desperate appliance are relieved, or not at all. Enter Rosencrantz, Guildenstern, and all the rest. How now? What hath befallen? Rosencrantz. Where the dead body is bestowed, my lord, we cannot get from him. King. But where is he? Rosencrantz. Without, my lord, guarded to know your pleasure. King. Bring him before us. Rosencrantz. Ho, bring in the lord. They enter with Hamlet. King. Now, Hamlet, where is Polonius? Hamlet. At supper. King. At supper? Where? Hamlet. Not where he eats, but where is eaten. A certain convocation of politicate worms are even at him. Your worm is your only emperor for diet. We fat all creatures else to fat us, and we fat ourselves for maggots. Your fat king and your lean beggar is but variable service. Two dishes, but to one table. That's the end. King. Alas, alas! Hamlet. A man may fish with the worm that hath eat of a king, and eat of the fish that hath fed of that worm. King. What dost thou mean by this? Hamlet. Nothing but to show you how a king may go progress through the guts of a beggar. King. Where is Polonius? Hamlet. In heaven, send thither to see. If your messenger find him not there, seek him in the other place yourself. But if indeed you find him not within this month, you shall nose him as you go up the stairs into the lobby. King. To the attendants. Go seek him there. Hamlet. I will stay till you come. Exeunt attendants. King. Hamlet. This deed for thine especial safety, which we do tender, as we dearly grieve for that which thou hast done, must send thee hence with fiery quickness. Therefore prepare thyself. The bark is ready, and the wind at help. The associates tend, and everything is bent for England. Hamlet. For England? King. Aye, Hamlet. Hamlet. Good. King. So is it. And if thou knewest our purposes. Hamlet. I see a cherub that sees them. But come, for England. Farewell, dear mother. King. Thy loving father, Hamlet. Hamlet. My mother, father and mother, is man and wife. Man and wife is one flesh. So, my mother, come for England. Exit. King. Follow him at foot. Tempt him with speed abroad. Delay it not. I'll have him hence tonight. Away, for everything is sealed and done that else leans on the affair. Pray you make haste. Exeunt. All but the king. and England, if my love thou holdest at aught, as my great power thereof may give thee sense, since yet that cicatrice looks raw and red after the Danish sword, and thy free awe pays homage to us, thou mayest not coldly set our sovereign process, which imports at full by letters and congruing to that effect the present death of Hamlet. Do it, England, for like the hectic in my blood he rages, and thou must cure me till I know 'tis done. However, my haps, my joys were never begun. Scene 4. Enter Fortinbras with his army over the stage. Fortinbras. Go, captain. From me greet the Danish king. Tell him that by his license Fortinbras craves the conveyance of a promised march over his kingdom. You know the rendezvous. If that his majesty would aught with us, we shall express our duty in his eye, and let him know so. Captain. I will do it, my lord. Fortinbras. Go softly on. Exeunt all but the captain. Enter Hamlet, Rosencrantz, Guildenstern, and others. Hamlet. Good sir, whose powers are these? Captain. They are of Norway, sir. Hamlet. How purpose, sir, I pray you? Captain. Against some part of Poland. Hamlet. Who commands them, sir? Captain. The nephew to old Norway, Fortinbras. Hamlet. Goes it against the main of Poland, sir? Or for some frontier? Captain. Truly to speak, and with no addition, we go to gain a little patch of ground that hath in it no profit but the name. To pay 5 ducats, 5, I would not farm it. Nor will it yield to Norway or the Pole a ranker rate, should it be sold in fee. Hamlet. Why? Then the Polack never will defend it. Captain. Yes, it is already garrisoned. Hamlet. 2,000 souls and 20,000 ducats will not debate the question of the straw. This is the imposthume of much wealth and peace, that inward breaks, and shows no cause without why the man dies. I humbly thank you, sir. Captain. God by you, sir. Exit. Rosencrantz. Will it please you go, my lord? Hamlet. I'll be with you straight. Go a little before. Exeunt all but Hamlet. How all occasions do inform against me, and spur my dull revenge. What is a man, if his chief good and market of his time be but to sleep and feed? A beast no more. Sure, he that made us with such large discourse, looking before and after, gave us not that capability and godlike reason to fust in us unused. Now, whether it be bestial oblivion or some craven scruple of thinking too precisely on the event, a thought which, quartered, hath but 1 part wisdom and ever 3 parts coward. I do not know why yet I live to say this thing to do. Sith I have cause and will and strength and means to do it. Examples gross as earth exhort me. Witness this army of such mass and charge, led by a delicate and tender prince, whose spirit, with divine and ambition puffed, makes mouths at the invisible event, exposing what is mortal and unsure to all that fortune, death, and danger dare, even for an eggshell. Rightly to be great is not to stir without great argument, but greatly to find quarrel in a straw when honor's at the stake. How stand I then, that have a father killed, a mother stained, excitements of my reason and my blood, and let all sleep, while to my shame I see the imminent death of 20,000 men that for a fantasy and trick of fame go to their graves like beds, fight for a plot whereon the numbers cannot try the cause, which is not tomb enough and continent to hide the slain? Oh, from this time forth, my thoughts be bloody or be nothing worth. Exit. Scene 5. Enter Horatio, Queen Gertrude, and a gentleman. Queen. I will not speak with her. Gentleman. She is importunate, indeed distract. Her mood will needs be pitied. Queen. What would she have? Gentleman. She speaks much of her father, says she hears their tricks in the world, and hems and beats her heart, spurns enviously at straws, speaks things in doubt that carry but half sense. Her speech is nothing, yet the unshaped use of it doth move the hearers to collection. They aim at it, and botch the words up fit to their own thoughts, which, as her winks and nods and gestures yield them, indeed would make one think there might be thought, though nothing sure, yet much unhappily. Horatio. 'Twere good she were spoken with, for she may strew dangerous conjectures in ill-breeding minds. Queen. Let her come in. Exit the gentleman. Aside. To my sick soul, as sin's true nature's is, each toy seems prologue to some great amiss. So full of artless jealousy is guilt, it spills itself in fearing to be spilt. Enter Ophelia, distracted. Ophelia. Where is the beauteous majesty of Denmark? Queen. How now, Ophelia? Ophelia. How should I your true love know, she sings, from another one, by his cockle hat and staff, and his sandal shoon? Queen. Alas, sweet lady, what imports this song? Ophelia. Say you? Nay, pray you mark. He is dead and gone, lady, he is dead and gone, at his head a grass-green turf, at his heels a stone. Oh-ho! Queen. Nay, but Ophelia. Ophelia. Pray you mark. Sings. White as shroud as the mountain snow. Enter the king. Queen. Alas, look here, my lord. Ophelia. Larded all with sweet flowers, singing, which be wept to the grave did not go with true love showers. King. How do you, pretty lady? Ophelia. How good dealt you? They say the owl was a baker's daughter. Lord, we know what we are, but know not what we may be. God be at your table. King. Conceit upon your father. Ophelia. Pray, let's have no words of this. But when they ask you what it means, say you this. Singing. Tomorrow is St. Valentine's Day, all in the morning be time, and I am made at your window to be your valentine. Then up he rose and donned his clothes, and up the chamber door, let in the maid, that out a maid never departed more. King. Pretty Ophelia. Ophelia. Indeed, without an oath, I'll make an end on it. Sings. By giz and by sweet Saint Charity, alack and fie for shame, young men will do it, if they come to it, by cock they are to blame. Quoth she, before you tumbled me, you promised me to wed. He answers, so would I ha' done by yonder sun, and thou hadst not come to my bed. King. How long hath she been thus? Ophelia. I hope all will be well. We must be patient, but I cannot choose but weep to think. They would lay him in the cold ground. My brother shall know of it, and so I thank you for your good counsel. Come, my coach. Good night, ladies, good night. Sweet ladies, good night, good night. Exit. King. Follow her close. Give her good watch, I pray you. Exeunt Horatio and gentleman. Oh, this is the poison of deep grief. It springs all from her father's death. And now behold, O Gertrude, Gertrude, when sorrows come, they come not single spies, but in battalions, first her father slain, next your son gone, and he most violent author of his own just remove. The people muddied, thick and unwholesome in their thoughts and whispers, for good Polonius' death, and we have done but greenly, in hugger-mugger to inter him. Poor Ophelia, divided from herself and her fair judgment, without the which we are pictures or mere beasts. Last, and as much containing as all these, her brother is in secret come from France, feeds on his wonder, keeps himself in clouds, and wants not buzzers to infect his ear with pestilent speeches of his father's death, where a necessity of matter be beggared, will nothing stick our person to a rein in ear and ear. Oh, my dear Gertrude, this, like to a murdering piece, in many places gives me superfluous death. Attend, a noise within. Enter a messenger. Where are my Switzers? Let them guard the door. What is the matter? Messenger. Save yourself, my lord. The ocean, overpeering of his list, eats not the flats with more impiteous haste than young Laertes in a riotous head, overbears your officers, the rabble call him lord, and as the world were now but to begin, antiquity forgot, custom not known, the ratifiers and props of every word, they cry, choose we, Laertes to be king, shall be king, caps, hands, and tongues applaud it to the clouds, Laertes shall be king, Laertes king. Queen. How cheerfully on the false trail they cry. Noise within. Oh, this is counter, you false Danish dogs. King. The doors are broke. Enter Laertes with others. Laertes. Where is the king? Sirs, stand you all without. All. No, let's come in. Laertes. I pray you give me leave. All, we will, we will. Exeunt his followers. Laertes, I thank you. Keep the door. O, thou vile king, give me my father. Queen, calmly, good Laertes. Laertes, that drop of blood that's calm proclaims me bastard, cried cuckold to my father, brands the harlot even here between the chaste, unsmirched brow of my true mother. King, what is the cause, Laertes, that thy rebellion looks so giant-like? Let him go, Gertrude. Do not fear our person. There's such divinity doth hedge a king that treason can but peep to what it would. Acts little of his will. Tell me, Laertes, why thou art thus incensed? Let him go, Gertrude. Speak, man. Laertes, where is my father? King, dead. Queen, but not by him. King, let him demand his fill. Laertes, how come he dead? I'll not be juggled with. To hell allegiance, vows to the blackest devil, conscience and grace to the profoundest pit. I dare damnation. To this point I stand, that both the worlds I give to negligence. Let come what comes. Only I'll be revenged most thoroughly for my father. King. Who shall stay you? Laertes. My will, not all the world's. And for my means, I'll husband them so well, they shall go far with little. King. Good Laertes, if you desire to know the certainty of your dear father, is it writ in your revenge that sweepstake you will draw both friend and foe, winner and loser? Laertes, none but his enemies. King, will you know them then? Laertes, to his good friends thus wide, I'll ope my arms, and like the kind life-rendering pelican, repass them with my blood. King, Why, now you speak like a good child and a true gentleman, that I am guiltless of your father's death, and am most sensibly in grief for it. It shall as level to your judgments appear as day does to your eye. A noise within. Let her come in. Laertes. How now? What noise is that? Enter Ophelia. Oh, heat dry up my brains. Tears seven times salt burn out the sense and virtue of mine eye. By heaven, thy madness shall be paid with weight till our scale turn the beam. O Rose of May, dear maid, kind sister, sweet Ophelia! O heavens, is it possible a young maid's wits should be as mortal as an old man's life? Nature is fine in love, and where 'tis fine, it sends some precious instance of itself after the thing it loves. Ophelia. They bore him barefaced on the bier. Song. Hey, nanny, nanny, hey, nanny, and in his grave rained many a tear. Fare you well, my dove. Laertes, hadst thou thy wits and didst persuade revenge? It could not move thus. Ophelia, you must sing, adown, adown, and you call him adown, oh, how the wheel becomes it. It is the false steward that stole his master's daughter. Laertes, this nothing's more than matter. Ophelia, there's rosemary, that's for remembrance. Pray you, love, remember. And there's pansies, that's for thoughts. Laertes, a document in madness, thoughts and remembrance fitted. Ophelia, there's fennel for you, and columbines. There's rue for you, and there's some for me. We might call it herb of grace, a Sunday's. Oh, you must wear your rue with a difference. There's a daisy. I would give you some violets, but they withered all when my father died. They say a maid, a good end. Sings, for bonnie sweet Robin is all my joy. Laertes, thought and affliction, passion, hell itself. She turns to favor and to prettiness. Ophelia, singing. And will not come again, and will not come again. No, no, he is dead. Go to thy deathbed. He never will come again. His beard is white as snow, all flaxen was his pall. He is gone, he is gone. And we cast away and moan. God a mercy on his soul. And of all Christian souls, I pray God. God by you. Exit. Laertes. Do you see this, O God? King. Laertes, I must commune with you your grief, or you deny me right. Go but apart, make choice of whom your wisest friends you will, and they shall hear and judge, twixt you and me, if by direct or by collateral hand they find us touched. We will our kingdom give, our crown, our life, and all that we call ours, to you in satisfaction. But if not, be you content to lend your patience to us, and we shall jointly labor with your soul to give it due content. Laertes, let this be so. His means of death, his obscure funeral, no trophy, sword, nor hatchment over his bones, no noble rite, nor formal ostentation, cry to be heard as 'twere from heaven to earth, that I must call it in question. King, so you shall. And where the offense is, let the great axe fall. I pray you go with me. Exeunt. Scene 6. Enter Horatio and others. Horatio. What are they that would speak with me? Gentlemen. Seafaring men, sir, they say they have letters for you. Horatio, let them come in. Exit gentleman. I do not know from what part of the world I should be greeted, if not from Lord Hamlet. Enter the sailors. Sailor, God bless you, sir. Horatio, let him bless thee too. Sailor, a Michelle, sir, ain't please him. There's a letter for you, sir. It came from the ambassador that was bound for England. If your name be Horatio, as I am let to know it is. Horatio. He reads. Horatio, when thou shalt have overlooked this, give these fellows some means to the king. They have letters for him. Ere we were 2 days old at sea, a pirate, a very warlike appointment, gave us chase. Finding ourselves too slow of sail, we put on a compelled valor, and in the grapple I boarded them. On the instant they got clear of our ship, so I alone became their prisoner. They have dealt with me like thieves of mercy, but they knew what they did. I am to do a good turn for them. Let the king have the letters I have sent, and repair thou to me with as much speed as thou wouldst fly death. I have words to speak in thine ear, will make thee dumb, yet are they much too light for the bore of the matter. These good fellows will bring thee where I am. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern hold their course for England. Of them I have much to tell thee. Farewell. He that thou knowest thine. Hamlet. Come, I will give you away for these your letters, and do it the speedier that you may direct me to him from whom you brought them. Exeunt. Scene 7. Enter King and Laertes. King. Now must your conscience my acquittance seal, and you must put me in your heart for friend. Sith you have heard, and with a knowing ear, that he which hath your noble father slain pursued my life. Laertes. It well appears, but tell me why you proceeded not against these feats, so criminal and so capital in nature, as by your safety, greatness, wisdom, all things else, you mainly were stirred up. King. Oh, for two special reasons, which may to you perhaps seem much unsinued, but yet to me they're strong. The queen, his mother, lives almost by his looks, and for myself, my virtue or my plague, be it either which, she is so conjunctive to my life and soul that, as the star moves not but in his sphere, I could not but by her. The other motive, why to a public count I might not go, is the great love the general gender bear him, who, dipping all his faults in their affection, work like the spring that turneth wood to stone, convert his givies to graces, so that my arrows, too slightly tempered for so loud a wind, would have reverted to my bow again, but not where I had aimed them. Laertes. And so have I a noble father lost, a sister driven into desperate terms, whose worth, if praises may go back again, stood challenger on mount of all the age for her perfections. But my revenge will come. King. Break not your sleeps for that. You must not think that we are made of stuff so flat and dull that we can let our beard be shook with danger and think it pastime. You shortly shall hear more. I loved your father, and we love ourself, and that, I hope, will teach you to imagine. Enter a messenger with letters. Messenger. These to your majesty. This to the queen. King. From Hamlet. Who brought them? Messenger. Sailors, my lord, they say. I saw them not. They were given me by Claudio. He received them of him that brought them. King. Laertes, you shall hear them. Leave us. Exit the messenger. He reads. High and mighty, you shall know, I am set naked on your kingdom. Tomorrow shall I beg leave to see your kingly eyes, when I shall, first asking your pardon, thereunto recount the occasion of my sudden and more strange return. Hamlet. What should this mean? Are all the rest come back? Or is it some abuse and no such thing? Laertes. Know you the hand? King. 'Tis Hamlet's character. Naked? And in a postscript here, he says, alone. Can you devise me? Laertes. I am lost in it, my lord. But let him come. It warms the very sickness in my heart that I shall live and tell him to his teeth. Thus didst thou. King. If it be so, Laertes, as how should it be so? How otherwise? Will you be ruled by me? Laertes. Aye, my lord, so you will not overrule me to a peace. King. To thine own peace, if he be now returned, as checking at his voyage, and that he means no more to undertake it, I will work him to an exploit, now ripe in my device, under the which he shall not choose but fall. And for his death no wind of blame shall breathe, but even his mother shall uncharge the practice and call it accident. Laertes. My lord, I will be ruled, the rather if you could devise it so that I might be the organ. King. It falls right. You have been talked of since your travel much, and that in Hamlet's hearing for a quality wherein they say you shine. Your sum of parts did not together pluck such envy from him as did that one, and that, in my regard, of the unworthiest siege. Laertes. What part is that, my lord? King. A very riband in the cap of youth, yet needful too. For youth no less becomes the light and careless livery that it wears, than settled age his sables and his weeds, importing health and graveness. 2 months since, here was a gentleman of Normandy. I have seen myself, and served against, the French, and they can well on horseback. But this gallant had witchcraft in it. He grew unto his seat, and to such wondrous doing brought his horse, as had he been incorpsed and demi-natured with the bravest beast. So far he topped my thought that I, in forgery of shapes and tricks, come short of what he did. Laertes. A Norman, was it? King. A Norman. Laertes. Upon my life, Lamord. King. The very same. Laertes. I know him well. He is the brooch, indeed, and gem of all the nation. King. He made confession of you, and gave you such a masterly report for art and exercise in your defense, and for your rapier most especial, that he cried out 'twould be a sight indeed if one could match you. The scrymers of their nation, he swore, had neither motion, guard, nor eye, if you opposed them. Sir, this report of his did Hamlet so envenom with his envy that he could nothing do but wish and beg your sudden coming over to play with you. Now, out of this, Laertes. What of this, my lord? King. Laertes. Was your father dear to you? Or are you like the painting of a sorrow, a face without a heart? Laertes. Why ask you this? King. Not that I think you did not love your father, but that I know love is begun by time, and that I see in passages a proof. Time qualifies the spark and fire of it. There lives within the very flame of love a kind of wick or snuff that will abate it, and nothing is at a like goodness still, for goodness, growing to a pleurisy, dies in his own too much. That we would do, we should do when we would, for this wood changes, and hath abatements and delays as many as there are tongues, our hands, our accidents, and then this should is like a spendthrift's sigh that hurts by easing. But to the quick of the ulcer, Hamlet comes back. What would you undertake to show yourself indeed your father's son more than in words? Laertes. To cut his throat in the church. King. No place indeed should murder sanctuarize. Revenge should have no bounds. But good Laertes, will you do this? Keep close within your chamber. Hamlet returned shall know you are come home. We'll put on those shall praise your excellence, and set a double varnish on the fame the Frenchman gave you, bring you in fine together, and wager on your heads, he, being remiss, most generous, and free from all contriving, will not peruse the foils, so that with ease, or with a little shuffling, you may choose a sword unabated, and in a pass of practice, requite him for your father. Laertes, I will do it, and for that purpose I'll anoint my sword. I bought an unction of a mountebank, so mortal that but dip a knife in it, where it draws blood, no cataplasm, so rare, collected from all simples that have virtue under the moon, can save the thing from death that is but scratch withal. I'll touch my point with his contagion, that if I gall him slightly, it may be death. King, let's further think of this. Weigh what convenience both of time and means may fit us to our shape. If this should fail, and that our drift look through our bad performance, 'twere better not essayed. Therefore, this project should have a back or second that might hold if this dust did blast and proof. Soft, let me see. We'll make him a solemn wager on your cunnings. Have it. When in your motion you are hot and dry, as make your bouts more violent to that end, and that calls he for drink. I'll have preferred him a chalice for the nonce, whereon, but sipping, if he by chance escape your venom stuck, our purpose may hold there. But stay, what noise? Enter the queen. Queen, one woe doth tread upon another's heel, so fast they follow. Your sister's drowned, Laertes. Laertes, drowned? Oh, where? Queen, there is a willow grows askant the brook, that shows his hoar leaves in the glassy stream. Therewith fantastic garlands did she make of crowflowers, nettles, daisies, and long purples that liberal shepherds give a grosser name. But our cold maids do dead men's fingers call them. There on the pendant boughs her crowned weeds, clambering to hang an envious sliver broke. When down her weedy trophies and herself fell in the weeping brook. Her clothes spread wide, and mermaid-like a while they bore her up, which time she chanted snatches of old lauds, as one incapable of her own distress, or like a creature native and endued unto that element. But long it could not be, till that her garments, heavy with their drink, pulled the poor wretch from her melodious lay to muddy death. Laertes, alas, then she is drowned? Queen, drowned, drowned. Laertes, too much of water hast thou, poor Ophelia, and therefore I forbid my tears. But yet it is our trick, nature her custom holds. Let shame say what it will. When these are gone, the woman will be out. Adieu, my lord. I have a speech over the fire that fain would blaze, but that this folly drowns it. Exit. King. Let's follow, Gertrude. How much I had to do to calm his rage. Now fear I this will give it start again. Therefore, let's follow. Exeunt.